We're back. This is Stuart Wolf with the BC Alberta Social Economy Research Alliance, and we've been looking at some of the areas that that BALTA has been researching and looking at applying in terms of different areas of community economic development, environment, and so on. With me now is Peter Elson, who is a professor at Mount Royal University in Calgary in the Institute for Nonprofit Studies. And Peter's also a member of the research group in BALTA that's been specifically looking at researching social enterprise. And maybe I'll ask Peter to start by defining social enterprise for us and then go from there in terms of what you found with your study.
Great. Thanks, Stuart. And that's a great question because people have a very different perspective of what a social enterprise is. And it's one of those adages when you're trying to do a survey or any kind of research is, you know, if you've got a fuzzy question and you've got a fuzzy context, then you're going to get a fuzzy answer. And we've deliberately define social enterprises in a very specific context and what they are. But just for the listeners to understand that there is quite a range, there are what we would call social purpose businesses, which are for-profit businesses that would otherwise engage, that are designed to achieve a social purpose as part of their mission. They make a profit, but they're also looking at achieving a social purpose from that perspective. We deliberately didn't go there. Our definition of social enterprises are nonprofit organizations, and they could be nonprofit incorporated as societies or nonprofit cooperatives that engage in the market. That means they exchange a good or a service in the market to achieve a social, cultural, educational, or social benefit.
Okay.
These also include organizations that could raise money for a parent organization. So, for example, a social enterprise could be engaged in activities in the market. A good example would be if you have a youth employment agency, they may have a social enterprise, a separately incorporated social enterprise, to engage in recycling activities. And although they are involved in training those youth in engaging in recycling, and as part of that, they learn both job skills, management skills, marketing skills, business skills, and so forth, the money that is produced not only pay those people or help to pay those people, but the money is also goes back to the agency so they can serve even more young people from that perspective. So part of that mission is to raised money for the parent organization to achieve its purpose in even greater means.
But also to be structured in ways that the business itself is also promoting social goals.
Yes,
right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
And there's in our survey, which we've done initially in Alberta, British Columbia, saw a wide range of social enterprises across a number of sectors in, obviously, in terms of retail sector, but also in housing and development sectors where social enterprises are structured provide services and supports for people in the food industry. Catering is a classic kind of an example of a social enterprise of where there are people that are either at-risk youth that are involved in social enterprises, persons with developmental handicaps are another example, or physical handicaps that are engaged in the catering business and so forth. So there's a wide range of people. And so when we look at people who benefit, again, we didn't look at customers. I mean, they benefited from the exchange of the money for the particular good. But we looked at people who were trained, and we had tens of thousands of people across the provinces that are trained every single year in a variety of activities. The other dimension is environmental. So, for example, there's a social enterprise in Edmonton whose purpose is to foster urban cycling. And they help people and they do repairs and a variety of other stuff, but they also give people strategies and support in terms of being regular urban cyclists and what does that mean to do it, both productively and safely. So they're achieving an environmental purpose as well as they go through their work.
Okay. So you completed the survey in 2010?
We did the survey itself about this time last year.
Okay.
And then we completed our report last fall, and we've produced it. It's both on the BALTA website as the final report. And it's been used in a variety of ways already. Certainly David LePage, who is one of the leading actors in British Columbia and organizes the Enterprising Nonprofits Group to help support and to foster social enterprises within British Columbia. He said he was able to take our preliminary results and have meaningful policy discussions with people at the provincial level that he was unable to have before, because he just did not have any idea in terms of how many groups were involved. As I said, you mentioned a few organizations, and you get incidental. Oh yeah, I know what the, like, this community radio is likely a social enterprise.
Probably.
Well,
and we all know anecdotally that these social enterprises seem to be becoming much more common. That the size of the sector is growing. That more and more nonprofit organizations, in an era of decreasing government grants and so on, are being forced to develop, you know, innovative new ways of actually doing the business of social care that they exist to perform. Yeah. And yet, as you say, so much of that is anecdotal, and actually having some real good hard data, you know, is really helpful.
Well, and the data is not in the thousands, it's in the millions of dollars. And social enterprises, one of the surprises we had from our research was what the average age was, and it was much older. I mean, there are social enterprises that have been around for 40, 50 years, and so although the recognition
Goodwill
of them, when we see them,
and,
oh, they're all within 5 years, and I figured, well, most of these are going to be within five. It wasn't. The average age was like 25 years.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
So there's quite mm-hmm. a range of that. There were some new startups, and certainly those will be in, good to follow as well, but it also speaks to the fact, a couple of things. One is the fact that the nonprofit form, from our perspective, some people would disagree, but from our perspective, that the nonprofit form is working. I mean, as far as social enterprises are concerned, you know, within that context. Some people say it's broken, we need a whole new legislative framework, and a whole
which
new
has
sort
happened
of,
in the
you
US
know, a
and
hybrid
the UK,
kind of an
but
organization
not here,
to do it. And the jury's still out, even in other jurisdictions in the US and the UK, as to whether, in fact, that really is working or not.
Yeah.
But when you look at what nonprofit incorporated social enterprises are achieving and have achieved right now, and the creative ways in which they are raising funds, capital through social impact bonds, a variety of various uh-huh. tools and instruments, really creative people are engaged in this, and they're doing excellent work all over the place.
Okay.
So we've been very satisfied with our initial foray into this. I said at the very outset, we had a very focused kind of a definition, and uh-huh. I know for, as I said, you know, listeners are probably thinking, oh, definition. But, you know, if you're not really clear about what you're looking for, it's really hard to be able to say something about what you're seeing. And
right.
as a result, even though we weren't to describe a very broad landscape of what people may think a social enterprise is, the fact that we had a very specific focus really was attractive to us, to the respondents, and again to policymakers, and people have responded really positively, to the extent that we're now, as we speak, collecting data for the whole province of Manitoba, because they saw what we were able to do with the framework that we've done, and we're also having conversations. In fact, we have a conversation in Toronto next week of probably 8 or 9 other people that are engaged in some dimension of surveying social enterprises, and we're encouraged by the methodology that we've developed. We're calling for it to be sort of a baseline database for social enterprises, so that over time
we could actually get a national picture rather than just a collection of individual pictures
But right from the outset, Stuart, this was never a survey for a survey's sake, that in fact we saw the survey as a social development tool, fundamentally, and we would not have done the survey, and in fact people have invited us to do the survey even at a national level and said we're not prepared to go there unless there are people on the ground in the communities within the jurisdiction that we want to survey that are committed to moving this forward. And as a result, for example, in Alberta, we were able to contribute to the discussion that made a substantive contribution by the Trico Foundation on developing Enterprising Nonprofits Alberta. And they have, I think they've invested probably close to $2 million now in basically a social enterprise incubator strategy.
And that's happened since your study came out.
Right at the brink. I mean, we were able to take our study to a key meeting of people within Calgary that were exploring what we do. And I think, I said, I can't take credit for it being a
cause
effect.
But lots of factors built to something like that. But it helped
to build, I think, the confidence that, in fact, there was something going on that they could build on. And other people are interested in doing the same. And the same with the people in Manitoba, that there are half a dozen community groups that have a sustained commitment to social enterprises, including the SEDNET, the Community Economic Development in Manitoba, and other groups who have said, we're here, will you do this for us? And that's what you want to see happen from a researcher point of view.
Sure.
Not saying, oh, here's a survey, and you know,
you're right. Your report, you stick it away, and it doesn't.
So this incremental kind of an approach in terms of various jurisdictions and so forth. Again, it's a community development tool, and that's really the basis. And both Peter Hall, who's my co-researcher on this from Simon Fraser, and myself, I mean, my doctoral work was in adult education community development. So we know community development, and so we're not seeing the survey as a one-off, just doing it for the survey's sake.
Okay, I know the survey was intended to get a picture of the sector. But did you also find emerging from the findings things that would relate to recommendations in terms of what the sector needs, in terms of policy support, that kind of thing? Did that kind of thing emerge from the study as well, or is it very much just a picture of the sector? And by saying just, I'm not actually negating the value of exactly what you've already described.
I would say no. It wasn't designed as a policy tool. There have been a number of surveys that have done both. Mm-hmm. It's basically been both a survey of what people were doing as well as what they felt they should needed. A lot of the survey questions in that regard have been leading, like in the sense of the questions have been letting them in a direction so they can turn around to government and say, see, they need more money.
Yeah, and we've actually got another Balta research project which actually looked at social enterprises in BC specifically in terms of their impact around training businesses for marginalized people, which, you know, was very much that second kind of study.
Right, and I think it's important, but we were conscious of two things. One is that we respected the time that social enterprise people have to actually complete a survey. And we didn't want one aspect of a survey to contaminate or bias the results in another part of a survey, so that you were trying to do the both. And I think you can dissect the results of both sort of a policy question and a statistical question, but you can't answer the question as to what extent the answers to one had an impact on the other or vice versa.
And the purpose of this particular project was to give us some hard data, and that's what it's done, which we didn't have before, and that's very important.
Yeah, I think the real thing is it's real. Social enterprise is real, and it's here, and hopefully it's going to stay. So we're really looking forward to continuing our work in doing this kind of survey work as we're invited to.
Well, and that sounds like a good place to end. So thank you very much, Peter. We appreciate it, and good luck with the Manitoba survey. I'll be looking forward to hearing how that goes.
Great. Thanks a lot, Stuart. Real pleasure.